flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, Perfect Parlay Pick segment in about 13 minutes or so. We will get back to the calls. I know you guys have been holding a while. We'll get back to the Alonzo stuff in just a second.
Yeah, I've been telling you guys about this all week. Who wants to go down to south, play a little bit of golf? Tee off 2025 in style. The time to get away to Florida is now. Caller 10, 866-540-WFAN. 10th caller, 866-540-9326. And you'll win. 10th caller will. A sick golf getaway, three buddies, plus yourself to the legendary. I know that they really refurbished this. It's always been nice, but it's even more modern. The legendary PGA National Resort down in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You get three nights, you get two rounds of golf, you get the flight, you get the rental car. All you have to do is bring your sticks, a couple of pair of shorts, bring a little game if you have any, and that's it. Have fun. 10th caller, all from our friends at Visit Florida. For more details, visit WFAN.com/contest.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We've talked about a bunch of different stuff today, mostly Pete Alonso and the Mets and that situation that continues to drag on. Yesterday, the reports were that the Blue Jays and Pete were at the 10-yard line, so we'll see where that goes. Amazing day tomorrow at Citi Field. Met fans and all former Met players are going to be out there, so it's a big, you know, Mets feel. And could Alonso be leaving as soon as today? Who knows what's going on with that? In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We have had Nick Costos on to preview the games for this championship Sunday. We've given you our thoughts on that as well. We talked some Aaron Glenn, potential Jets new GM hire as well. But back to Pete Alonso. Peter is calling from West Palm Beach, Florida. Peter, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I haven't seen this talked about anywhere, but I was just wondering if you guys knew Vientos, albeit he hasn't had two full seasons, but the last two seasons he's played, he's essentially Pete Alonso in a stat sheet. So I was going over this with my buddy last night. I couldn't believe it. He pulled it up on Stathead, and I was shocked. I don't know if you ever saw that or seen it.
I didn't notice that. I just think he's a different kind of player than Pete. I think he's going to use more of the field. I think he's going to hit for a higher average. I think he's not a burner on the bases, but he'll be a little more. He's got a little more juice athletically. He's not a great athlete. He's an okay athlete, but Pete's a one-trick guy, and I don't think Vientos is.
Who do you think has more confidence?
More confidence?
As an individual player, yeah.
That's funny you asked that. I mean, the easy answer would be Alonso. I don't think that that's the right answer. I think it's probably Vientos, yeah, just the way he comports himself. And by the way, every time they sent him down to Syracuse, he's like, screw you, I'm going to hit 360. Like, you're going to have to call me up. That's confidence.
Maybe confidence is the wrong word. Maybe it's the right word, but I think it's Vientos, and I don't even think it's close. Maybe swag. Like
swag's definitely Vientos.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, Vientos just has...
juice.
Yeah. He's got it. Now, does that mean he's going to be a superstar? I don't know, but... the bigger the moment, the better Vientos responded. Anytime anybody's doubted him, he's proved them wrong. Alonso had a little bit of that going on early on, but the last 2 years, just Pete has had this downtrod, like beaten feel to him. Where Vientos, the energy is off the charts.
Yes.
Coming to get you. I'm going to prove I'm the best and that I belong. One thing that Todd Zeal brought up yesterday on Baseball Night in New York, and I thought it was a fascinating point. And this is from Zeal, who was moved from a catcher to third base to first base. In the event that they would have to move Vientos from third to first, like we look at it as, okay, well, no big deal. He could play first base, not a problem. But if you're Vientos, and Todd was back in his day, and he's talked about this off the air and then on the air, that is very difficult when you're asking somebody to change positions, not to mention the money that Vientos would be getting hit with, going from third base and his offensive numbers to then be going to first base. But also, it's not like Vientos has earned a demotion. He's, as a matter of fact, he's earned to stay at his position. So they would, in theory, be asking him, after he did a great job last year at third base, being more than serviceable defensively, and obviously you know what he did offensively, they'd be asking him to go to first base, the lesser of the two positions, certainly financially, and taking him away from something he did very well last year. And that had, in Todd's case, a negative impact on him.
Mm-hmm.
Just not like that he didn't perform well, because he still was a good big leaguer no matter where they put him, but like it's from the human element. It's another thing that we don't think of. Oh, yeah, just put him there at first base. It's not as easy as it may seem. And why would you want to do that to a guy who was excellent a year ago doing what he was asked to do?
There's a couple things there. Now, we were spoiled growing up and watching, you know, watching Donnie and Keith. We grew up with, you know, Keith was the best ever attacking a bunt. Keith is the best defensive first baseman of all time. Donnie's not too far behind. They were just, they were magicians, right? So, and we watched them for years. So we grew accustomed to seeing smooth, dynamic first baseman. But generally, back then, first basemen were more like Jack Clark, guys like Steve Balboni, you know, George Brett, who was amazing, but moved over to first base from third base later in his career. Guys that couldn't move quite as much, right? And I really do think that first base just gets a bad rap. Like, you can't just throw somebody at first base and pretend that's not an important position.
Right.
It's really one of the most important positions on the field.
Right.
Now, there's a subtlety to it and a subtleness to how you go about doing your job. Like, you can watch a shortstop like Lindor or Ozzie Smith or guys like that, and you could watch them one night and you could just see their athleticism jump off the TV, their arm strength, how they cut the field in half. You don't necessarily see that in one game with a first baseman, but if you watch a competent first baseman play, even without any bunts anymore, you know that there's a distinct advantage to having a first baseman who could play. I just wanted to say that because I do think too many people think, put him there, figure it out. So, but back in line with what Todd said, I don't look at it as a demotion. If anything, I look at it as more of an acknowledgement that they value Vientos more than they do Pete. It's not a demotion.
Right,
they're letting Pete go.
But don't you think if Vientos continues to produce offensively,
he'll make less money playing first base than if he was doing it at third.
So that is then in turn.
Who says he can't go back to third base in a year or two if the Mets find a first baseman?
But now you're asking him to do the juggle, which again, just from a young player, we weren't, obviously you played it in college or whatever, but like Zeal did this in the majors and they asked him to move from catcher to third. Now he's thinking, oh crap, as a young player, if I don't, like, as a catcher, I could get away with not hitting 300 or whatever. You put me in third, now I've got to produce these numbers, otherwise I'm going to be out of league or whatever. So I'm not saying that that's apples to apples with Vientos, but just the organization putting players in a position to succeed. I feel like, and I don't even know what Vientos prefers. Maybe he prefers first, and the whole conversation is moot. But I feel like putting Vientos in a position to succeed would be keeping him at third where he had success, as opposed to moving him and potentially putting him in a spot where he's not as happy.
I know what you mean.
You might be putting him in a position to fail.
Where he regresses a bit. But he could also regress a little bit because the league figures him out. And we might make that natural connection. Well, you know, look, the numbers, and I love Vientos, you guys know that, but I'm just saying, like, just if this were to happen, you know, midseason, Vientos doesn't look quite like he did a year ago. Kind of, they messed him up moving him to first base when the answer really could be, no, it's just a natural adjustment that the league has made to him now that they've seen him a little bit.
Also, what if it comes out, and you know how these things start to be reported, well, you know, the Mets want Vientos to move to first, he's not too thrilled about that.
Well, that's tough. You're a young player. You go where I'm telling you to play.
But it's also going to make him look bad, and he might not be a jerk about it, and obviously he's got to listen, but what if he really prefers, much like Glaber, let's just say, Glaber didn't want to move to third base or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to play second. And we sit here and say, and I would say the same thing as you, well, tough, Vientos, suck it up. They should play first, go play first. But if he feels much more comfortable at third, why would you then force it on him to go to another position if it's not going to maximize his ability?
Well, I mean, you're not putting a gun to his temple. I mean, force is strong. It's more about the insinuation at first, and then you just straight up tell them, we're going to be better because of this, because we believe in you, and we believe you can handle first base, and we believe Brett or whomever's playing third base can do this, and we'll be a better team than last year. Hey, you're a great example, but so am I. You know how many times I was doing shows at times of the day that I didn't think that I knew I didn't want to do? I had two options, show up and do it well to get on a better spot, or don't show up and get fired.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, do your job.
I get it, but if you did well in one spot, and then they're going to say, okay, well, we're going to take you and put you in a little bit of a lesser spot.
I'm not saying it's not a lesser spot. Well, it is in terms of the contract, but it's not like, and this is, again, not apples to apples, it's not like going from working at 1:15 in the afternoon to 1:15 at night, and not to take a shot at 1:15 at night, because It's a springboard for you, and I'm sure C-Mac down the road, and Keith, and it's on the air, dude. You're batting. You're getting reps every day. But you got to do your job.
Right.
I mean, there's a pecking order of power, and, you know, especially, if you tell me that...
If it's going to make him worse, I get what you're saying, and I agree with you in theory, but I'm trying to maximize my players here. I want him, and you can't appease everybody.
I know.
But here's a guy who knocked the snot out of the ball last year,
came out
of nowhere... Arguably their most impactful Met outside of Francisco Lindor, who could have won an MVP, and you get to start jerking him around?
Potentially. But you're assuming, or at least your opinion is rooted mostly in failure. I think Vientos could handle it.
I think he could too, but it's another element to this that we haven't really thought about, and I thought it was interesting to hear Todd's perspective.
He's bounced
as somebody
around.
Who's done it with the positions before. Anthony's in the Bronx. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about Pete Alonso or whatever. First of all, I'm willing to trust Stearns on, you know, I want Pete back, but I understand we don't need him and it's a business and all that good stuff. And I'm willing to trust the process. But what is the process exactly? Because last year was, I don't want to call it a reset year, but they asked us to be patient because, you know, we were waiting for Soto and all this other good stuff, and they sold us on all that being patient stuff. But it turns out we had a better team than they thought, and we went to the NLCS. Now they're telling us to be patient again. You got Soto, okay, but now you pretty much, you know, he's better than Pete, and the lineup is overall better. But is the team, it seems like they're trying to sell us on taking a step back again when we already got sold out for last year, and this year was the year that we were supposed to take steps forward. I don't understand when I'm looking at the Dodgers.
Yep. And hold on one sec. I got a challenge on this. You said that you were sold out last year about taking a step back, but you didn't take a step back. You took a step forward.
I know, but that's the whole point. We did take a step back, and that's fine, but that was the plan for last year. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean that wasn't the original plan.
I agree, but it also doesn't mean that you're going to take a step back this year.
But tell me how we're taking a step forward.
They got Juan Soto!
Alvarez could be better.
They did get Juan Soto, but...
Anthony, no but. They got Juan Soto. Like, when you say take a step back, last year, as it pertains to last year, and thank you for the call, we appreciate the opinion. As it pertained to last year, the step back was financially step back. They weren't going to overextend their payroll just to build a team that they thought might incrementally be better going into the year, meaning go spend on Bellinger or Blake Snell or any of those guys that, in theory, could have helped the team. They didn't think they were worthy investments a year ago. When some money came off the books, they were going to go big this year in the right spot. They did with Juan Soto. Now, last year, they tried to get Yamamoto. Obviously, he left. But this year, there were no restrictions financially. Pete Alonso's situation has nothing to do with finances. Nothing. It has to do with market value. Where the Mets value Pete, where Pete values himself, and where the market is. It's not that Steve Cohen is not willing to spend. It's that Pete doesn't want what the Mets believe is fair market value for him.
Yep, I do agree with that. And let me also tell you how, now, I don't know if this will come to fruition, but it very well could. And let's just assume Pete's gone, and they don't do anything else. They don't get Vladdy before opening day.
Yep.
Something else could happen, but I'm going to assume it doesn't. I'm just going to assume Pete's gone. You tell me Alvarez doesn't have a better season. If he doesn't, like Volpe for the Yankees, they're just not what we thought they were at that point.
Which is possible.
And I don't think that'll apply to either, but we got to see it.
Right.
Vientos only played 111 games last year, not because he was hurt, because they kept him in AAA Syracuse for 50 games. So now I don't know if he'll have the same OPS, but I would think, unless he gets hurt, that he's going to be on the roster for 162 games. So you're going to get, you know, he only had 450 at bats or something like that. You play a full season, you're getting 680, 690, 700. depending upon how many you walk, how much you walk, official plate appearances. So Bientos will play more. Now, Minaya was there all of last year, but let's face it, first half Minaya, okay. Yeah. New windup Minaya, basically a Cy Young. Well, guess what? He's starting opening day with a new windup. He very well might be that guy. Last year, Senga basically threw no meaningful pitches. This year, he should be there on opening day or day number two. So I'm not trying to create the rosiest of outlooks for the Mets because I do myself think they're the third best team in the division. I do myself, all right? Even the Braves getting Profar, not that we would talk about that here, but, you know, they lost some pieces, freed one of them, Minter, but they brought Profar.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Braves are good, and the Phillies are good, but I do think there's at least four, and Minter as well, and a better bullpen, five or six avenues for the Mets to be incrementally better in other spots this year. Yeah. So that's how you get better.
Yeah.
And then you have Juan Soto.
It doesn't mean that they're going to go further than where they went
a year
ago.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Right. Well, that's a different story. But going into the season, even without Pete Alonso, the Mets are better. How much better? You know, it might be a couple of wins better. It might not be that big of a difference. I do believe the Mets are better going in. I just don't think they're good enough to be compared with the Braves or the Dodgers, at least in the regular season. Get in the postseason, anything can happen. They still need more, but the Mets are certainly better than what they were a year ago.
All right, today's football picks, BT and Sal's picks, brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Your Future, and by London Menswear brand Charles Turwood. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
Championship week, perfect parlay pick segment, BT. Hard to believe. After today, there's only one more of these perfect parlay pick segment, and that'll be the Super Bowl edition, in which you and Hoff will be dressed up. You got your brother Love, brother BT, will be in full costume on Super Bowl Sunday, that Friday. Hoff will be Papa Shango. But we've almost come to an end here. Last week, I was awful. You guys were good. I think you went 3-1.
Yeah, I did.
And I went 1-3, which also means I'm two games behind Evan in the head-to-head of champions.
Come on, you're not going to lose to Evan. You got to wear that shirt.
So I'm two games behind with three to go. So wish me luck. But
letting down the show a little bit, I'll be honest with you, buddy.
It's not over yet.
Not over yet. All right.
All right. I know there's only two games. Let's see what we got today, BT. Start us off.
All right. Music. Yes, sir. Let's stay hot. How about a little Commanders Eagles, 3 p.m. on Fox? Listen, I'm going to tell you right away what I basically hinted at all week here. I love the Commanders to cover the number. I love them to cover that big number out there in Detroit. They rewarded me with that. I think the Eagles will win. I'm not even fully convicted in that, so I'm going to run to the bank without actually touching the money, but I am putting that up for a little transaction, expecting to win this. Give me the Commanders plus the 6 spot. All right, the night game. And this is the game that I want. If I had to watch one of these two, this is the game I want. I'm not going to watch
both. Yeah, I know. I get it.
This Bills-Chiefs game, I'm done with the Chiefs, and I'm just tired of Chiefs fatigue. And generally, like, teams I don't want to watch anymore, I don't like them. I don't want to watch LeBron James anymore. I'm just done with LeBron. I'm not interested anymore. I've got no malice toward the Chiefs, although Kelsey's, that's annoying me with Taylor Swift. But I just don't want to watch the Chiefs because the Chiefs aren't particularly fun anymore. Like, the Chiefs, when they're waxing people, that's fun. I could get behind that. Now, the spread is basically a pick 'em. It's very nominal. Kansas City minus 1.5. Admittedly, a little hard, maybe more with the head. Give me Josh and the Bills to cover the number, to straight up win the game, and to punch their ticket to get to the Super Bowl. So in summation, we'll have the Commanders covering the number. We'll have the Bills cover the number and winning. I don't know if the Commanders will win, but in the fourth quarter, they will definitely have a chance to win, but they will cover.
All right, Hoffy, what do you got here?
Look at me. I'm the king of New York.
Oh, God, with these songs again.
Well, you guys been into show tunes all week, yeah. So I've just been... Newsies. You guys miss Newsies. This is one of the best of all time. Anyway, I'm making it simple. I'm upset city this weekend, so I'm going Washington money line.
Wow, okay.
Washington money line, and I think the Bills are going to win too. So that's the Super Bowl. Bills are winning the Super Bowl this year, but a rematch from how many decades ago? 2 decades ago?
Yeah, 1990, right?
Yeah, so there
you
go.
Oh, no, 91, obviously. It was the year after the Giants and the Bills were in the Super Bowl. All right, that's it for you?
Yeah.
All right, hit me with it, boy. Let's go here. At least I like the music and not this newsy stuff. There we go. What was it called?
I don't know. What was it called?
Newsies?
Newsies.
Yeah. All right, amazing. Check it out. All right, let's get in the football mood here.
Yeah.
Now, this is... I got it. I can't lose to Evan. But I don't know what he's picking here. I'm going with my gut and what I think. I'm going to take the Eagles. I went... That was my one regret. All week long last week, I was on the Commanders and the points. And then you went with all the dogs. Hoff went with all the dogs. I was like, I can't go all the dogs. Let me go Detroit. I'll change it up. And that's the one regret. Even though I wasn't good, I wish I could add that one back. I can't. I still don't believe in Dan Quinn. And I love Jaden Daniels. Washington's not ready yet to get to a Super Bowl. It would take an incredible effort from Daniels, which isn't out of the realm of possibility. I just think the Eagles are a better football team. Their offensive line is going to dominate like they have the majority of the season. Saquon Barkley, I'm sorry to say this, Giant fans, is going to run his way to a Super Bowl. Give me the Eagles at home. I hate that doofus Sirianni, but I think he's better than Dan Quinn, who blew that 28-3 Super Bowl lead years ago. Eagles at home. They cover. Could be a close game, but still, 6 is not a lot of points. They could win that game by 10 or by a touchdown. Give me Philadelphia to end the magical season for the Washington Commanders and advance to another Super Bowl. The AFC Championship game, I think, is a fun one. And I'm going to go another theory that I've been going with all year long against the Chiefs. I know that on paper, the better coach, Patrick Mahomes, they're at home. Buffalo's never done it. They can't beat them. The Chiefs are vulnerable. They have been all year long. They haven't lost, but they've been close all year long. I think the playing with fire finally burns Kansas City this Sunday. Give me the Bills and Josh Allen to get back to the Super Bowl, setting up a Bills-Eagles Super Bowl. The one team the Bills haven't faced in the NFC East in the Super Bowl. Give me the Bills plus 1.5 on the road against Kansas City and the Eagles at home. -6 against the Washington Commanders. Championship Sunday. Perfect parlay
destination. I like it.
You think Washington's a live dog?
Yes. Yeah, what are they on the money line? If I had to guess, what are they, about 190?
Let me see.
I mean, +6 has to get them up in that neighborhood, right? I didn't see that.
Would you say money
190-ish?
Plus, I would think more than that.
I mean, it
no?
could be. Maybe low twos.
I don't know. 230.
Yeah, there you go.
230. Mm. Oh, yeah, even more live than I thought.
You're
going
to bet that high.
I'm definitely taking the 6.
Yeah, okay.
That might even, although I think that's going to get bet down rather than bet up. I don't know if I'm going to go, I'm not going heavy on them to win on the money line. I might just sprinkle a little something in there just in case.
And you need some action here. Yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying these.
You got to start betting St. John's, what you got to do. I told you guys that.
Really what you should be doing, it's easy money. And I almost did this against Georgetown. St. John's second half.
I do the games. I never bet St. John's.
No. I'm just saying, I didn't mean you. I meant you
guys
in general.
Could do it. You and Huff.
In general, the money play is St. John's in the second half. They get down. They're a big spread going in, 7 or 8 points going in. They're down at the half.
I know.
Bet them to come back.
And they even covered the other night, too, in the overtime. They covered that. Because it had dipped down. Well, they went by 7 or 8. Yeah. They covered by like a half a point.
I didn't realize that. I'm not going to mess with the college basketball. Now, come tournament time, maybe a different story, although it would keep me maybe even more interested in the Johnnies.
If there's money to be made, does it matter what month it is?
No, I like the, well, I'm still not there yet for me from, yes, taking your advice on it, I can understand that, or just following it along, like I said, second half. But I like doing the same game parlay stuff. I think a lot of times can be sucker bets, but if you do it the right way and don't get nuts with a bunch of different unrealistic things,
agreed,
you can add 6 or 7 things that aren't all that crazy,
mm-hmm.
and it pays out a decent price. We had that happen. I told you my buddy's on the Rams game.
Like, yeah,
Rams
yeah, Costos. I mean, listen, if you try to hit five or six things that are like plus 190 to plus 240, you're going to win once all year. If you sprinkle in a couple things, even money, minus 130, minus ones, you know, or plus 120, you know, maybe just like, but you have like five or six things, depending upon what you put down, it adds up. I'm with you. I think it might be fun, and when you hit enter and you see, you know, could win, you know, $875. All right, that's appealing for a $20 bet, whatever, just throwing something out. Yeah, how many times do you win? You almost never win.
Right, and the one bet that I hate, and I get why people do it because it's great odds, the first touchdown score. Like, anytime.
I never touched that.
Me neither.
I never touched that.
Anytime touchdown score is a lot, and a lot of those odds, like, you think, man, I got to pick this guy to score touchdowns, like, minus 130. Barkley last week was ridiculous to score anytime touchdown. Now, two-plus touchdowns was a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but if you bet him to have the first touchdown of the game, that's even better odds, which is why people get it. Well, I think he's going to score a touchdown. Why not have the first one? Why not is because once somebody else scores, the bet's ruined immediately.
Yeah.
Like, at least if you took, he could score a touchdown twice or two touchdowns, at least you have that throughout the course of the game.
You got 3 hours to maybe win.
I
agree with that.
Some action.
You know what I might do now that I think about this? I've got to really check the adjusted lines. So right now, and it could change, they are plus six, the Commanders. I might find what Commanders minus three could get you.
So take it even the other way. I love that you could do that now.
Oh, yeah.
Boyle, what do you have there? Saquon, anytime touchdown is
what? Yeah, I was going to say, you want to guess what he is this week for anytime touchdown?
For an anytime?
Minus 170.
How about minus 225?
Wow.
That's like Christian McCaffrey last year.
I mean, it's ridiculous. What is it? Do you have two-plus touchdowns for Saquon? And I would not bet this for the record.
Two touchdowns plus 255.
All right. Now we're in the neighborhood. That's worth it.
I'd rather do that for the odds.
Of course.
Than the first time touch. I hate the... You bet that, Boyle, at all? The first touchdown score of the game?
Very rarely.
I mean, people get...
If I've got a spare $10 to waste.
See, I'd rather just go $10 on, like, multiple options from one or two players. Like, let's say, for example... Yeah, whatever. Barkley rushing yards over, which I know it's ridiculous. His odds are not going to get good, but pick a player. Dallas Goedert over the receiving yards, maybe over the reception, something like that. Not spread it out to where you need 15 different things with different players. But point is, I like having some fun. Yeah, three games to go. Get my bets in and then
Understood.
Go into hibernation.
And then, then we get our future bets in for the Yanks and the Mets and some other things we're going to have. And now you know we're going to have to do that whole Yankee-Met future thing again.
By the way, you could... I shouldn't even throw this out there. You know, we're going to have Boone in studio on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You could make me, theoretically, pay off my bet that I lost to you last year and have me dress up with Boone in the house. I don't want to do that. Like, imagine you made me be...
Whomever, with eye black and the Yankee pinstripes with Boone. Oh, that picture... That's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, well, it might
with
have
that
to. I don't know.
Voice.
I'm just thinking it.
And now the flat voice.
Flatty. I still haven't paid that off.
I forgot about that.
I can't wait to say it to Boone when he sits right here. Like, Soto.
Oh, yeah. No, people think we're just going to do flip cards. We're going to have an amazing conversation with Boone. It's going to be great.
If you wear the eye black, maybe Boone gives you a Yankee nickname. Maybe he starts calling you Sally.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Or well,
Sally Botch.
Yeah. He is funny.
That's a good idea.
Well, I mean, I'm not recommending you do that. I'm just saying I want to pay this off.
You don't like it hanging over your head. You don't like, you know, as a gentleman, you want to, you know, take care of what you're supposed to take care of.
Yeah, I don't want you and Hopkins have to pay off your bet before I pay off my bet.
Well, I mean, the timing
to
me is less important.
Or if you want me to do an opening day.
Well, that's why I was thinking the more painful, the better.
Yeah,
to
right,
be
let's
honest
do that
with you.
Then.
And, you know, in my mind, yeah, I mean, the social media attraction would be priceless. It would be an all-time picture, you with Boone and me, and you wearing Yankee pinstripes.
Oh,
my God. Or the indignity of you having to broadcast from the Hard Rock on opening day with 2,000 people staring at you and coming up during the breaks and taking pictures.
They might just think I'm a Yankee fan. They maybe wouldn't know the difference.
No, I'll make sure that they do for those who aren't completely intimate with the show. They'll know.
Remember last year I wore my Mattingly shirt?
You did.
1984 Top Style Mattingly
shirt.
You
did. Which I respected. I remember I was trying to poke you to wear a Mets. I said, lean into the villain.
Way.
I said, lean into the villain.
Maybe this year I wear something Soto.
If you wore Soto, if you wear half, do you think he's got the guts? Now, I don't mean saying it in January. I mean doing it in March. You think he's got the guts to wear a Soto Mets jersey to Yankees opening day?
Mm.
Do you think he's got those kind of guts?
It's not even guts.
I don't.
I think it's more like stupidity, but yes, he would do it.
I don't think he would do it.
No, I think he totally would. I think he wouldn't read the room well and walk in there like, oh, guy's got soda.
You know, see, I don't like trolling. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sean's a good troll. You're not a troll.
No, that's not me. Me neither. That's why I wore the Mattingly thing last year. Like, it was a sign of respect. Like,
yeah.
We're here doing a game.
Yeah.
Like, doing a show from Yankee Stadium, opening day at the stadium. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't grow up a Yankee fan, so let me do what I can do is wear the Mattingly baseball card shirt. I would not
troll. It would be like me coming to support you guys tomorrow at Amazing Day wearing a Doc or Daryl Yankee jersey. Like, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that?
I would never do that.
I'd
put, like, mustard packets on it or something.
I just wouldn't do it because I wouldn't do that to the Met fans. I wouldn't disrespect them like that.
Don't want to be a troll. Anyway, no. I have to pay off that bet.
All right.
And you and Hoff will pay off the Perfect Parlay Pick Segments bet.
I got a couple of Amazon packages yesterday.
2 weeks from today.
The white blazer, the white suspenders. I got to get the toupee last week, and I'm done. And
Brother then
the rings came, the red paint came. I'm going to lean in. No worries. It'll be funny.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Dave is in Port Jeff. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Why would Toronto give up Vlad Guerrero now when they're trying to build with Santander and Alonso?
Because they can't sign him.
So how are we going to sign him?
Okay, let me just explain to you how this works, Dave. In the event that the Blue Jays cannot extend Vlad Guerrero Jr., which you're right, they're trying to do so. There was a deadline set by Guerrero saying, if we do not have an extension by the first day that we report as a team to spring training, I'm not talking extension anymore. You know what that means, right? That means that he's going to go to free agency. So they've got a window from today to the first day that the Blue Jays report to spring training as a team to get an extension. If they don't, and the Blue Jays feel like they can't come to an agreement and they're going to lose him in free agency, then, Dave, they would want to maybe consider doing what?
They're not going to do it.
I thought I led you there. It's not a video game.
And you're happy with...
What does that mean it's not a video game? Hold on. I'm just giving you the... This is like realistic. This is not fantasy stuff. So in the event... I thought you were going to get there. I have to spell it out for you even further. In the event that they don't come to an extension with Vlad Guerrero Jr., the Blue Jays might say, you know what? We can't sign him, just like the Nationals did or the Padres did with Soto. We can't sign him. Therefore, we're going to trade him. The Mets have already inquired about trading for Vlad, and it was more than what was just reported. So there is smoke there. There's also the fact that Soto and Vlad are Dominicans. There's also the fact that Soto, you know, was promised more protection in that lineup. So, no, those are all the facts. Now, until he signs with the Blue Jays, which he might, it is possible. It is a realistic thing. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue with all that factual information. Go ahead. You have the floor, Dave.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, Dave. I mean, hey, what is the opposite of call of the day?
Oh, my God.
Dud of the day.
That was funny earlier on. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app.
Two quick things for you. One is real fast because I know that it bothers you. Remember sometimes during the Yanks and the Mets season last year, I'd go projected playoff percentage, projected wins. And, okay, you hate it, right? Because you don't think it makes any sense. Or even like predicted... percentage of winning a game, like midway through a game, and it's just too many variables that bother you, right? Well, I disagree. I think it's interesting and generally holds true, but at the very least is a roadmap to kind of see where things will go. But I saw something earlier. I'm like, all right, I got to at least tell them this real fast on the air. So I saw something, chances to make the NCAA tournament for the Big East teams.
Okay.
Now, Marquette's at 100%. St. John's is at 98.4.
Okay.
Creighton's 97.1. Then it drops a little bit to UConn, Xavier, mid-30s, and then there's a massive drop. Seton Hall is at 0%.
Wow.
Which makes no sense, because if Seton Hall wins the Big East tournament, which they obviously won't, they're not good at all.
Well, that's part of the projection, I'm sure, but...
But don't you have to leave at least like half of 1% pot? What if they win it? I mean, there's no 0%
well,
that something
point.
Could happen.
And then you know everybody's going to say, wow, look at this. They had 0% to make the postseason, but they won the Big East tournament.
Correct.
So we go from zero, then all the way up. Yes.
It seems a little inconsistent. All right, the other thing I want to throw at you here. So I appreciate you and Hoff buying Girl Scout cookies for my daughter.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so the deadline was today, which is why you guys Venmoed the money to Jen yesterday.
Night,
you guys got it in last night, got it in before the deadline.
I wasn't sure about Hoff, but I made sure
he did.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I was going to make sure. Yeah, he definitely did. Three boxes each, more than generous, but... I got to tell you, it is...
We're going to do more, and you'd cut us off, by the way. You're like, I know. But anyway, that's okay.
You end up selling like 80 boxes.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the point. Like, back... I wasn't a Boy Scout. All I did was pretty much play sports growing up.
Me either.
You weren't a Boy Scout.
No.
But, like, back in the day, if you were a Boy Scout...
Come on.
You know... It just wasn't appealing to. I'm not knocking
it. Take a quick guess. Who do you think were Boy Scouts at the station? Like, I got one right off the top of my
Evan?
Head.
Yeah. I don't know. Can he even tie a knot? And maybe he can't. Can he pitch a tent?
Yeah, he tied the knot for that L chain, I think. So
that
there
is
you go.
True. I mean, I don't really see Evan in the forest putting together wood and making a fire. So maybe he's not a boy. No. Maybe he's, yeah. I don't know what he is. Anyway. Love you. Just kidding. Kind of. Anyway, so now, like, but back in the day, like, our generation had to earn stuff. You know, knock on each. Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. My name is Timmy with Boy Scouts, or I'm trying to raise money for my Cooperstown trip for baseball. Can you donate? Here's what I'm selling. Here's the pamphlet. You'd have to interact with an adult, which I think helps you, and then they either decide to help you out or not, and most good people do if they have it. Now, and I'm not calling out my wife or my daughter. I'm calling out the general tone here. Now the trend is, and my daughter did an amazing job of it, mommy takes a little video. Mommy puts it up on Facebook just for our friends. And everybody we know buys cookies.
Yeah, send us the Venmo. Yeah. Donate. Yeah.
If you didn't earn it.
I remember having to go with candy bars or the little tickets for my baseball team.
100%.
Your team going, you know, trying to get dollars to
raise. We did that too.
Yeah.
Or like kids I see still. This is an old school thing that I love. Like doing a car wash. Like, hey, we raise money for our high school. But aren't they kind of cheating when they do? They really earn it?
It's easier now, but you're right. I don't know if it's earned. It's just, hey, buy some cookies for our daughter. Here you go. Hey, send me the Venmo. Yeah.
Maybe she's just ahead of the curve. Sure, give me a shortcut. I'll take a shortcut in life. I don't care. Screw ethics.
All right, that does it for us. Another fun week here on BT and South. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for Boyle, who's in for Dove today.
Howdy.
Thanks to Hoff for his work all week long. We appreciate your guys' help. We'll be back Monday morning, 10 a.m. And don't forget, tomorrow, out of the Mazin Day, I'll be there with Joe B, 10 to 1. And then next week, in studio on Tuesday, the manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone, in studio with us right here. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for Evan and Tiki. They're coming up next. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah. I care if she shot up in the car as long as we have a good time. Okay. That's what I'm bringing home to Mama.